Amen. Welcome back, everybody. Good to see all you folks. It's great to be in God's house this evening, isn't it?
Amen.
If you would, please. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Let me see. Brian, would you open a word of prayer this evening, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be back here today. Lord, around your people, Lord, around your word. Lord, we thank you for us. We heard this morning. Lord, you help us hide them on our hearts, Lord, apply them to our lives. We pray, Lord, again, that you meet with us tonight. Pray you be with pastors, you preach, and Lord, fill them with your spirit. Guide and direct this service. And I pray that you would just give us the word that we need, Lord. I pray that it would affect us, Lord, that it would plant itself in our hearts, Lord, that it would challenge us, that it would help us to draw close to you, to be better than we were when we came, Lord. Pray you help us to live for you throughout our week. To rely on you, to trust you, Lord, to draw nigh to you. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for your mercy and grace. We thank you for Jesus Christ taking our place on the cross, Lord. We thank you for your shed blood that covers us. Lord, we'll receive your praise for what you'll do here tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. If you will, please stand and sing with me hymn number 101. Hymn number 101. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend.
Yeah.
mention it this morning, but the new calendars are in for next year. The calendar, and then also a little small calendar you can probably put in your Bible or wherever you like to put it. But they're over here on the side and also in the back, so feel free to take one. Thank you to Brother Sam for getting that together. But the new calendars are in, so if you like one, we got some up here and some in the back there. Brother Sam?
We have a good supply of mailing envelopes for these calendars.
Okay.
You fit right in there. You don't have to worry about bending them or anything.
Amen. Amen. So if you'd like to mail some out to family members or friends, we also have those back there by Brother Sam.
Amen. It's about $2 or so to send.
Okay. It's around $2 to mail them out. Amen. We got plenty of them, so feel free to do so. All right, so for those that were here this morning, Wednesday we're not going to have church. So far, I think the weather's supposed to be good this week for the parade. So there will be no church Wednesday the 20th, this Wednesday at 7. Instead, we're going to just try to hand out some tracts and just stay right here on the lawn just to kind of get a feel this year of how the parade goes. Maybe invite some people out to church and also to the revival services the following week. So that'll be Wednesday the 20th. I'm going to try to get here around 5, 5:30 to get things set up. So if you're interested in trying to help out, if not, just please pray about that night that God will just bless His words that goes forth. Lord willing, we will have church this Thursday night at 7. So this Thursday, instead of Wednesday, it'll be Thursday at 7. And I mentioned this morning as well, the final grief class will take place on Tuesday, November 2nd. I had to cancel it this past week, so we'll try to finish that up November 2nd, that Tuesday evening from 6 to 7:30. And please just continue to Cobles in prayer as they travel back from visiting their son down near Atlanta. Thank God Ellie's here this morning, this evening.
Amen.
So hopefully she'll get a positive test back that it won't be Lyme disease and she'll be feeling better. So I'm glad to have her tonight. Her here tonight. And also just continue to please keep Miss Nancy in prayer. She's going through some things. So just keep Nancy Pirelli in prayer and also the Hellies as well. Both of them going through some things. So just ask God to intervene on their behalf and meet up with them tonight. Amen.
All right, our last song is going to be one we know very, very well. 448, My Savior's Love. As we all, let's all stand, we'll sing this last song together. My Savior's Love. How marvelous, how wonderful. I want to hear all the ladies sing that. And now, men, we have men with wonderful bass voices out there. I want to hear you sing the answer down there. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. We'll try that through just this one time. All right?
I said it this morning, it's a blessing to have someone that cares about us, that loves us, and that has made a way out for us. But I want you to look this evening at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We've been studying through 1 Thessalonians, and these latter verses here in chapter 4 give us hope. Okay, and it's interesting how all the songs this evening kind of go together to provide hope. One thing that's lacking in the world today, in my opinion, is the lack of hope. What hope is there? Since a little child, I've always thought about this, especially through my teenage years, of what happens when I take my last breath. It's just something I've always thought about, something I've always contemplated, because I realize that this life is short. This life is not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed the next day. And so always in the back of my mind, because when I was a young man going to elementary school, I had one of my good friends, he died in a biking accident. And after he passed away, like I said, consistently I got thinking in my mind, what happens when I take my last breath? What is there? And again, I said, I was raised in church. I grew up in church and I knew about heaven and I knew about hell. But the question was always there in my mind, what happens when I take that last breath? And the Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 13, Paul tells the church here, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for bringing us out here, dear God. Thank you for the very air that we breathe. Lord, thank you, dear God, that we have the ability tonight to walk around. Lord, thank you that we can use our arms, that we can use our eyesight, dear God, that we can hear. Lord, that we can talk, dear God. Thank you for these things. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray tonight, dear God, that you'd give us what we need. Lord, I pray you'd move me out of the way, dear Lord. Lord, open eyes, open ears, dear God, that we would receive what the Scripture says, that we would have hope, dear God, that we would have hope in you. And Lord, I pray you just now lead, guide, and direct, and we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul tells the church there, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Paul's telling the church here, he's telling them, he says, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the fact that those that have fallen asleep, and what he means by that is that those that have died in Christ Jesus, those that are asleep in Christ Jesus, to not sorrow to the extent that there's no hope, because there is hope. You see, when you get saved and you're born again of God, the Scripture, I believe, plainly tells us and shows us that you cannot lose your salvation. You see, if you have to work for and keep your salvation, then Christ did not need to die. If you can't earn your salvation, then you can't
keep your salvation because it's dependent upon you. And if you're an honest individual, there is no way you can depend on yourself. I'm not even worried about depending on others. I can't even trust myself. You know, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The Bible says that a fool trusts in his heart. We can't even trust ourselves, much less one another. How therefore can we then trust ourselves to keep our salvation? It is impossible. Jesus Christ is our only hope. The Bible says, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. What does ignorant mean? Ignorant means destitute of knowledge, uninstruction, uninformed, untaught. One of the problems in churches today, and I'm not even talking about Baptist churches, I'm talking about churches as a whole, is the lack of training and teaching according to the Word of God. What you have today in most churches today, and the ones that are on television, a preacher may read one verse, he may read two, he may read any. And then it's a good self-motivational speech to help you on your way. But in reality, most people today are struggling with things going on in their mind and nobody knows about it. If people were honest, there's more struggles in this thing right here today than you can shake a stick at. How many people I deal with on a consistent basis spending hours with them because of the things that they struggle with in their mind. Brethren, I know the own struggles I have in my own mind, and I know where I stand with Christ Jesus. You see, the devil is a master in this area right here. If he can mess you up in your mind, then he's got you, and he has control. You see, if he can plant a thought and get you then to run with that thought, he's got you. But the Bible says in the book of Corinthians to bring every thought into obedience to the cause of Christ. Bring every thought. Look, take your Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at your Bible, 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Look, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, and he's referring to those that are asleep in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to talk to you this evening. Don't be ignorant at the enemy's devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. Look what Paul says here in the Bible, in God's Word. Paul to the church at Corinth says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, look what he says. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Though you're saved, your spirit has been born again of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has left you in this flesh, and the battles that we now face are not fleshly battles in a sense, they're spiritual battles. Now, can the spiritual battles pour out into the flesh? Absolutely. Yes, they can. You see, if you don't gain victory here, it's going to come out here. Look what he says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after flesh. Look what he says in verse 4. For the weapons. Brethren, this is a spiritual battle now. You got men that fight over in Afghanistan and in Iraq and over there in the Middle East. You got men that fight wars, physical wars with physical weapons that cause physical death and physical harm. But Bible tells us here for the weapons of our warfare. You see, brethren, if you are a saved child of God, I want to tell you tonight, if you are a saved child of God, you are now in a warfare whether you like it or not. There is a spiritual realm to this thing. There are things going on today right here in this very town that if God were to open our spiritual eyes, I think we would fall down as dead if we saw what was going on in the spiritual realm. I believe in a real devil. I believe in real devils. I believe in a real God. And I believe in a real Savior, Jesus Christ. That he was manifest, that he was God manifest in the flesh to take away the sins of the world. And once you're saved, you are now in Him, He is now in you, and you are complete in Jesus Christ. But when you enter into that union with Jesus Christ, you now enter into a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. Paul says here in verse 4, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," meaning they're not physical weapons, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There's a lot of individuals today suffering from mental illness, and I think some of it is, it's not so much a mental illness like you would have in the DSM-5, which is the book that psychologists use to diagnose mental illnesses. I think rather today there's strongholds in individuals' lives that they have allowed the enemy to take hold on. Brethren, when you walk into the spiritual realm, you must realize that if the enemy has legal grounds to be there, you can say Jesus all day long. It does not mean that the enemy has to move. You can plead the blood of Christ all day long, but if the enemy has legal grounds to be there, he does not have to move. Now I've got some strange faces looking at me. Let me explain. If you have something in your home that is ungodly, and you're allowing it to be there, and you know it is there, and yet you're struggling with things, and you're not willing to remove that ungodliness out of your house, the enemy has every right to stay there and torment you. See, we're ignorant of the enemy's devices. There are a lot of things that a lot of individuals allow into their lives, and they hinder them because it's the enemy's legal ground to be there. And until those things are dealt with and removed, then you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and give the help that's needed. Brethren, I was sitting, and the reason I say some of this stuff, the way I was raised, there was some crazy stuff that happened when I was raised. Crazy stuff. Remember when I first got saved, my wife and I, and we had our first child, and we just got saved, and we were starting to go to church down there in South Carolina. And I came home, and some wild stuff was going on. And I said, "There's something wrong in this house." I said, "There's just something wrong in this house." And I remember my son had a little toy that kept going off, and it just kept going off. And I'm thinking, this is just not normal. It's not normal. What's going on here? Go up in the attic of the house. All kinds of witchcraft type of stuff. Dungeons and Dragons, all kinds of different things that somebody that lived there previously had left up in the house. That's what I'm talking about. You say, "Preacher, you're talking crazy stuff." No, I'm not talking crazy. I'm talking real stuff. Stuff that I've experienced as a young man and grew up with. Satan's real. The devil's real. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. And he wants to discourage us. That's why the suicide rate among young people today is going through the roof. Suicide as a whole. You got entire websites for veterans coming off the field over there with PTSD and everything else, and they're taking their life left and right because of the battles here in the mind. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost here, uses Paul. The Holy Ghost has Paul write down here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty." Our weapons that we have at our disposal are mighty through God. For what purpose? To the pulling down of strongholds. Are there strongholds in your life today that need to be pulled down in order for you to get victory? Until those strongholds are pulled down through the mighty power of God and the weapons that God gives us, those strongholds will stay there and continue to give you trouble. He says next in verse 5, after the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Imaginations. What is imagination? It's something that comes into your mind, that is conceived in your mind, that is imagined in your mind. It's not real yet. It's just something that is imagined in your mind. I'm imagining that this is occurring. I'm imagining that this person don't like me. I'm imagining that this is happening here. It's not real. It's an imagination in your mind. The Bible says casting down imaginations. Look, a great old preacher said this one time. He says, "You can't help the birds flying over your head." but you can help them from building a nest in your hair. You can't help the thoughts that come in your mind. If you try to keep every thought out of your mind, you're going to go crazy because you cannot stop thoughts that come into your mind. But what you can do is once the thoughts come in, you can grab a hold of those thoughts and bring them subject to Jesus Christ. You see, there's times where thoughts have come into my mind and have plagued me, and I have literally said, Lord, you need to take this thought from me because I cannot handle it. I take it to Jesus. Literally, sometimes I do it physically, say, Lord, you need to take this. Because the battle is real, brethren. Casting down imaginations. You are in a warfare. You can't be like, oh, I just want to be nice to you. No, you need to cast that thing down. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about putting your foot on the enemy's neck and taking him out, not physically, but in a spiritual sense, slaying the dragon, so to speak. Casting down imaginations, and not only are you to cast down imaginations, verse 5 then says this, and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? Against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you're to cast it down and do away with it. And bringing into captivity every thought. Brethren, this is real tonight. This is real tonight. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You need a fighting spirit. You need a fighting spirit. You say, well, preacher, where do I get a fighting spirit? How do I have a fighting spirit? How do I deal with these things that plague my mind? How do I deal with these things, these thoughts that come into my mind? How do I deal with them? I was talking with a special brother in the Lord this week for a long time one night, because he has these thoughts that come into his mind. He says, Brother Chris, he says, how do I deal with these things that keep plaguing my mind? He says, I know I'm saved, but I can't get rid of these thoughts. And you know the question I asked this brother? I said, Brother, I said, how much time you spend in your Bible? He said, well, not much. And then this brother has this false doctrine that he wants to bring in, and he wants me to hear, and he wants me to watch these videos. I said, Brother, have you ever read the book of Isaiah? He says, no, I've never read the book of Isaiah. I said, stop talking to me. You're a hypocrite. I said, I don't hear no more. And his eyes got this big. I said, don't talk to me no more. Now listen, this isn't the first time I've talked to this person. I've talked to this person numerous times. Spent many hours with him. I said, you're a hypocrite. I said, have you read Ezekiel? No, I just read maybe a couple chapters. I said, no, don't talk to me no more. I said, you're wanting to give me this doctrine. Have you ever even read your Bible all the way through? No, I've never read my Bible all the way through. Stop talking to me. I don't hear nothing else you got to say. Don't come to me with a doctrine if you haven't even read through your Bible one time. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. How do we gain victory over the enemy? First of all, we bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. How can you bring every thought into obedience? Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 10. Look what the Bible says here. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in who? Yourself? No, not strong in yourself. You cannot win the victory yourself. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, if you're saved today, you need God, you need Jesus Christ to work through you to be strong and have power in His might. You can't do it, brethren. Look, if you try to win these battles yourself, you are not gonna make it. If you try to get victory in yourself, you say, I'm going to have the character, I'm going to have the willpower, you cannot stand against the causes and the warfare of the enemy in the spiritual realm. It is impossible. No man can do it. Abraham couldn't do it. David couldn't do it. Samuel couldn't do it. Look, you cannot do it in your own power. You need Jesus Christ to work through you to give you the strength you need to make it through these fights today. Brethren, the days are getting darker and darker and darker. And I'm not talking about the physical days. I'm talking there's a spiritual darkness coming over this land and over this world. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because it's found in Scripture. The spirit of... Look, hold your hand here, Ephesians 6. I'm going to come right back to it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at chapter 2, verse number 1. I want you to see who's in control right now of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. We're going to go back to chapter 6 real quick. Hang on. Just hang with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, which means he's made you alive through Jesus Christ. And you hath he quickened, who were what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, look, this used to be a lost person now. This was a lost person in the past. He says, wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. Brethren, there is a course of this world right now. There is a course that this world is following. But when you get saved, you're no longer following that course because you've now been quickened and you passed from death to life in Jesus Christ. Look at the latter part of verse 2 now. According to the prince of the power of the air. I'm going to read this whole verse to you again. Chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. The spirit, what spirit? The spirit of the prince of the power of the air. The spirit thou now worketh in the children of disobedience. Brethren, there's a spirit out there. There's a spirit out there. There's many spirits out there. One is the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, and that's the devil. He now worketh in the children of disobedience. You say, preacher, you just talking a bunch of nonsense tonight. No, I'm not talking a bunch of nonsense, and I don't understand sometimes why people scratch their head, why people do certain things. So I was taking my dog on a walk this afternoon, and I usually have one course that I usually walk with him. Sometimes we deviate a little bit. But one area where I walk, it's near Deerf High School. There's a home there that has, I don't know how much money they spent to put up Halloween decorations. I mean, it is decked out. Well, it's disgusting. It's evil. It's wicked. And as I'm walking by today, I notice she's got this little fence set up. And on that fence is someone's head tied to that fence. Brethren, I believe this. I believe things like that affect individuals, and then some individuals go out and do those things. Right? I work with a man, you say, preacher, look, the music you listen to, the movies you watch, the things you spend time with, those things affect your mind and how and what you do and how you do things. You put ungodly music in your, that's one of the wrongs with the, I'm going to tell, the black culture. One of the things wrong with the black culture is all the music that their young people are listening to talk about nothing about going around shooting people. And I asked them, do you think that affects you? They say, yes, preacher, we think it affects you. I took a survey one time with young people in the juvenile center where I worked for many years. And I said, what is the number one thing that you think affects you and causes you to do the things you do? I thought they were going to say social media. They didn't. They said music. They said music is the number one thing that influences us to do the things that we do. And they said, preacher, I had their respect. They said, chap, I know what we're doing, why I'm doing it. You say, I can watch all these horror films. It's never going to affect me. I'll never do what these horror films show that individuals do. Well, take a little trip with me into prison. And I went into prison one day and I'm doing a Bible study with some men. And there's this man that walks in, this older white man. He had to be at least in his 70s, if not in his 80s. He looked like a grandpa. I'm telling you, he was no bigger than this. He looked to be the sweetest man there ever was. The reason he was in prison, he chopped off his wife's head. Brethren, you say, look, you say, preacher, you shouldn't bring these things up. No, I bring them up to tell you that you don't realize that there's an enemy out there that knows how to mess with you. And if you don't bring thoughts into captivity of Jesus Christ, we do not realize what we're capable of, especially the lost. Brethren, things affect our mind. There is a spirit of the prince of the power of the air out there working now in the children of disobedience. But guess what? I'm not scared in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I have victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than overcomers through Christ Jesus our Lord. Look, it's took a long time, and I thank God for my preacher back home. I thank God for my precious pastor, Jonathan Doss. I thank God for him because he helped me to learn to get over and to learn where the battles are at and how to fight the battles in the mind. You see, I'm an introvert by nature. I look inward. I consistently look inward at myself. I second guess everything, and I constantly try to doubt myself, and my battles are in my mind. I would rather deal with things physically, but everything that happens in my life, it seems it's in my mind. And it's taken me years to get to the point where we talked about commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It took me years. I'm still fighting these things of learning to put the whole armor of God on in order to fight against the wiles of the devil and to bring into captivity every thought. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We'll close here tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, brethren. Chapter 6, verse 10. We've already looked at this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. That ye may be able to stand against what? What are we to stand against? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because you're fighting these battles in spiritual realms, verse 13, wherefore, because of these things, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, it's going to get to a point today in society to where a Christian's going to be doing good just to stand. Just to stand against the onslaughts of the enemy. And today, like it was shown this morning to me, it is continually being pushed into our face, the ways of the devil. The onslaught of the enemy. The enemy knows his time is short. Therefore, he is pouring out all of his wrath. To stand, verse 14, stand therefore, my precious brethren. Stand therefore. Look what it says. Look at the first thing it says. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod, put on with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Why? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you see, you take that shield of faith, brethren, you have the helmet of salvation, you have the breastplate of righteousness, you have your loins girt about with truth, you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace, you have the sword of spirit in this hand, you have your shield in this hand, and as the enemy is pulling back and shooting fiery darts, I believe those darts that he's firing at Christians are thoughts that he's trying to get lodged in their mind and in their heart to get them to quit and turn back from the battle and say it's not worth it, and to some Christians, I believe, even says, take your own life. You say a preacher, a Christian would never take his own life. Oh yes, Christians can take their own lives. Well, they'll go to hell. No, they won't go to hell. If they're saved, unfortunately, they'll go home, but they'll go home with undesirable circumstances. Proverbs chapter 27 talks about going home underneath undesirable circumstances. This battle's real. this battle's real. Your feet shod with the preparation of gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench. Quench what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me. Paul is asking for a prayer from these brethren. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Taking on the full armor of God, fighting against the enemy, and as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, it is written. How do you get victory over the enemy? You bring every, first of all, you make sure you're saved. Second, then you bring every thought into captivity. You cast down imaginations. You help have God help you to pull down strongholds. You put on the full armor of God daily, and you make sure daily as you're walking with the Lord that you haven't accidentally or potentially taken off a piece of that armor. There's sometimes I pray to put the armor on 2-3 times a day. God, help me to put the armor on. And once the armor's on, then you go with the shield of faith and the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you go at the enemy with, it is written. If you don't spend time in here, you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. And you're not going to be able to fight things off because you're going to do it in the power of your might rather than in the power of God's might. That's why we need this book. That's why it's so important to know what's in this book. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book is like this right here. This thing does no good right now. This thing is useless because it's got no power. It does not work. This thing is not useless. It's got power. And it can help lead and guide and direct you throughout the day because it's like a flashlight. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as I hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him, as I commit my ways unto him, I commit my works unto him, my thoughts shall be established. And as I go along in God's word, I might come up to something during my day, say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And his word will give me direction on what path I should take because I have spent time in it. I have memorized it. I have meditate upon it. Read Psalm chapter 1. What did that godly man do? He meditated upon God's word day and night. These things are vitally important, brethren, if we're going to get victory over the enemy and the power of the devil. There's too many individuals today that have been taken captive right here in their mind and in their heart, and they're living a life of despair, of depression, of defeat because they've failed to avail themselves of what God has given them in his precious scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for how good you are to us, dear God. I thank you for this precious book. Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you, dear God. Lord, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I know I did a lot of talking about the enemy tonight, dear God. But Lord Jesus, Lord, through you we can gain the victory. Through you, Lord Jesus, we are more than conquerors. There is nothing in this life that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to walk in the light of these things. Lord, help us to avail ourselves of these things. I pray for myself, Lord. Help me, dear God, to continually put on that armor in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, help these precious people who came out to church tonight. Lord, help them, dear God. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is dealing with things in their mind and in their heart, dear God, and they're just trying to get victory, Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes and you'd open their ears to hear what says the Lord. God, help us to walk in these things. Help us to walk in the light of it. Dear God, help us to finish the course that you have set before us, dear Lord. Help us not to quit. Lord, the times where we feel like just giving up, saying, what's the use? Lord, I pray you'd encourage those individuals at that moment. And Lord, they would turn to you, dear God, and get the strength they need. Lord, help us, dear God. Help us in these dark days that we're living in. Help us to live in the light of you and of your word. Lord, we'll thank you for it, dear God. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. God. Amen. We're going to sing another song, close out. If you please stand, page number 812, a wonderful song. Page 812, Victory in Jesus. Amen. Blue hymn book, the very back of the hymn book, page number 812.
Help our brothers that's going home tonight. Keep them safe. Keep us safe. That's what you're about. Jesus, my name.
Amen. Amen. Love you, brother.